pre-primary department is something that, you know, which fascinates me always. And just for the reason that these children are very, very innocent and they are full of energies and surprises. And that is what, you know, keeps us going. And it's always that, you know, you feel very young at heart because they're very honest, they're very simple, and they share with you everything that happens in their families too.
Welcome to the Learning Circle, the ultimate video podcast for educators and parents who want to unleash the full potential of children. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of learning with the help of thought leaders who will share their knowledge and stories with us. This is your host, Kavleen Kaur, and I'm excited to take you on this journey. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Early childhood experiences have a profound impact on brain development, affecting learning, health, behavior, and ultimately lifetime success. Today with our guest speaker, we discuss how educators and parents can help develop 21st century skills in early childhood education. Our guest today is Ms. Sheba Thapar, an accomplished educationist having extensive experience in managing pre-primary and primary departments of leading schools. She has a proven ability to create policies and practices that promote a safe learning environment and a culture that encourages continuous improvements for both teachers and students. During the lockdown, she successfully guided implementation of interesting virtual activities for students. Ms. Thapar has been awarded various prestigious awards for her valuable role in early childhood education. She is the founder director of Sacred Step Experiential Learning School in Gurgaon. Welcome to our podcast, ma'am.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be a part of the show. Thank you, Ms. Kavleen.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. The pleasure is ours as well. So you have a long association with the pre-primary and primary sector. We will begin the session with something I am always curious about. When we look at children, we notice how adorable they are. That's the first thing we notice about them. But I would like you to share a scenario where you were surprised by the intelligence, the innovation, the creativity, or even the skill a young child depicted in a particular scenario.
Sure, I'd love to share that. And before that, I share, I would like to add that it's not only pre-primary and primary years that I, you know, have also taught grade 11 and 12 mathematics. And to be, you know, very honest, it's like such a pleasure to be a part of the entire school structure where I was interacting with the young learners, with primary students, and as well as the senior graders. And having an experience of, you know, handling each age group, I guess everywhere that I had gone, it's like a learning for me. So I'm very fortunate that I've been a part of the, you know, handling all departments in schools. And to be, you know, honestly, the pre-primary department is something that, you know, which fascinates me always. And just for the reason that these children are very, very innocent and they are full of energies and surprises. And that is what, you know, keeps us going. And it's always that, you know, you feel very young at heart because they're very honest, they're very simple, and they share with you everything that happens in their families too.
Right.
So I was really fortunate that I was a part of the you know, each department. That's one. And then to be very honest, what I've learned from them is, of course, you know, they are full of surprises every day that I visit a classroom. And I, you know, I make it a deliberate effort to visit each and every room, because everywhere that I learn, you know, there's something or the other that I'm learning from them. It's something that I've made it as a schedule that I have to visit, because then I have to learn something from them. And, you know, to be very honest, when I'm talking about learning technology, something that this generation of, you know, these pre-primary and especially post-COVID, I think they've mastered the skill even when we talk and compare with the adults, because they know how to manage the gadgets, they know how to handle the technology. And there was one incident that I would like to share when my six-year-old was sitting and I was on a Zoom call, and he taught me that, you know, how you can edit the whole structure, your, you know, face and things like that. And I was really surprised that how come he knows, because he was also at that time a part of the virtual learning where he was in a school where all these, you know, technology and Zoom calls and virtual calls, they were all adapted to that mode. So I feel that it's very fortunate that this generation has learned something, which is what we are talking about, 21st century skills. And of course, thanks to COVID, that we've all learned to be a part of the virtual platform. And of course, we have gone much ahead of time.
Yes, yes, that's right, ma'am. COVID has given us a lot of lessons. And, you know, surprisingly, I think the children were quicker to adapt than all of us. You know, they picked up the technology very fast. So they have this innate ability to, you know, learn something new. So it is mentioned, and we previously discussed also, that you believe that the first step is crucial in setting the direction for the rest of the journey. So what is the importance of making deliberate and intentional choices when it comes to early childhood education? And how would these skills have a long-lasting impact on the academic performance and also the personal success of a child? So what is the impact of these 21st century skills? Before we go on to define these skills, we would first like to, you know from you, what do you think is the lifelong impact of these skills?
See, what I believe is that, when we talk about the early childhood learners, I think 90% of the brain is developed in these, you know, formative years. And when we are talking about the children's brain and, you know, the kind of experience that we offer them, I think that has a long-lasting effect. That's what I believe in. And I think the quality of the child's early experiences make a critical difference, you know, as their brain develops, providing either a strong or weak foundations for learning, health and behavior throughout, you know, life. So I think when we introduce them to these different gadgets and we share with them something on STEM, I think that would something be within their brain and would be having a long-lasting impact on them. So I believe that when we are talking about experiential learning, when we are talking about learning by doing, rather than a rote learning, would definitely leave a long-lasting impact with the children. And here, when we are talking about a 21st century skills, we are talking about collaboration, you know, critical thinking. I think these are the skills which are most important, and these are the skills which will be required in the future jobs also for them. So I believe that when we introduce these skills in the initial years, it is definitely going to benefit these children. So that is what I feel about it.
Right. And you mentioned that the skills of critical thinking, collaboration are very critical for future jobs. And I think whatever is the nature of job in future, which we, of course, can't predict at this moment, these skills would definitely be required in all kinds of jobs. And as you said, that if we give experiential learning to a child, these skills would be very well settled, you know, in their psyche. It'll become part of their thinking process. So yes, thanks for sharing that, ma'am. And you have all already defined that critical thinking and collaboration are two of the essential 21st century skills. Would you like to share, what this basket of 21st century skills, what other skills it includes?
I would like to add, apart from these skills, I think emotional development is something that, you know, is very important for these children, because when we are talking about the generation, when we, you know, started the school, these school children were all stuck at their home front. They were coming to the school for the first time. And they missed out on those, important skills which are required right from the initial years. So I believe that emotional development skills, social skills that they were lacking, you know, they need to be with the peers is what we believe. Because I think these small children, they learn from their peers rather than a teacher or a parent teaching them. Because they look and observe around in the environment, and that's how they, you know, learn. And of course, collaborative play and, learning from each other, social skills. When we're talking about the early childhood education, we are talking about the early literacy development, which is very important. And something that I would like to add is a listening skills. You know, that's very, very crucial. Now, when we talk about a child, when we talk to the child, I think even to our own children, I feel that listening skills are very important, and they have a very important role to play in the future, you know, jobs. Of course, communication skills, the soft skills, which are very important, where They need to learn the ability to ask questions, express their feelings. They need to, you know, the spoken words is something that is very important. And of course, at the same time, the fine motor skills, which are there when we are talking about the mathematical skills, the problem solving skills, I think that is something which is very important. The creativity, I think we've already talked about this, but at the same time, life skills. I think life skills is something that is very important that, you know, these small children need to learn, because when they, what we do in the school is we teach them life skills. We tell them how to, you know, remove their shoes, how to eat their food, how to become independent. So that is something that I think needs to be taught right from initial years, so that they become very independent to, you know, be as an independent adult. So these are the skills which I feel are more important. But yes, there's one more skill, which is, you know, how can they be techno savvy, how they can, you know, build up, you know, different, you can say build from the scratch when we talk about block building and, you know, things like that. So I think these are the skills which are important, and they are there for the 21st century that we are talking about.
Right, right. Thanks for sharing that, ma'am. I think we have, you have spoken about the whole spectrum of skills that these children need, and that is rightly so, because we are preparing them for a life and for a career that we don't know what it would be. So two things that I would like to, you know, discuss further. One is the life skills that you have talked about, and the other are the techno-savvy skills. So both these skills have, you know, always been needed, but I think they are more required now because the world is getting more and more complex, and, you know, there are more distractions. There are newer challenges for our kids, and as they grow up, there would be very different challenges, right? So, you know, would you like to share more on, you know, how these skills are developed, and what is the form that we teach these skills vis-a-vis how
we very do honest, what we have done in the school is we have created a STEM lab. You know, it's a STEAM lab, to be very honest. So S stands for science, T for technology, then we have the E for the innovation, and we have the engineering, which is there in place, and then of course we have the arts, we have the mathematics. So when we're talking about a STEAM lab, we have all the gadgets where the child is learning. Now here we are talking about, for example, the direction sense. So we have also for these pre-primary learners the magnetic needle, you know, which can tell them a direction of north, east, south. When we were in school, I don't think so it was any kind of an exposure like this was given to us, because the teacher used to just write on the blackboard, that too, not a whiteboard, with a chalk, when N, E, West, you know, yes. W, and all these signages were given.
Right.
So it's very important for the child to somehow link to what and how he's learning, because these magnetic needles, if we give them, they are able to explore as to what is the direction sense, because that is something that I felt that was lacking in our generation. We were being given so much of theory, but then the application sense was lacking there. Now when we are talking about let's say a spectrum, so there's a spectrum wherein you know, these different colors are there, and there's a machine where a button is laid, and then they are, you know, the spectrum of colors has been rotated, and then there's a white light coming in. So these children, I think these are the, you know, the memories that they will create, and they will be staying in their brains for a longer duration. When we are talking about primary and the secondary colors, so there's a color mixing goggles. So where we have different, you know, color, these scales which are arranged in the goggles, where the child is, you know, kind of in a playway methodology, they are putting in their you know, different colors of their glasses, and they are kind of wearing it, and then they are themselves detecting it. So the teacher role, I guess, is more of a mentor here. The final, you know, the what we call the observation has been done by the child here. Now, when we are talking about a solar system, we were just been given up, you know, the book to tell the positions of the different planets. And here now we are talking about a working model of a solar system where they are learning the sun, which is a lighted bulb, which is there in the center, and the other planets are revolving around it. So I think these, you know, gadgets would give a long-lasting impact on what the child is learning. So when we're talking about a STEAM, I think that's a lab which even the NEP has kind of, you know, made it a mandate for all the schools to have it in their schools.
Right.
And so we have created it in the pre-primary department only in our school, where the children are enjoying it, you know, so much, where we are talking about the human anatomy model, and here they are talking about, you know, the eyeballs, and you know, it's such a fun to you know, get the feedback from parents when they are telling us that, you know, ma'am, today my child was talking about kidney beans. So yesterday I was just talking to a parent where the child, you know, is, the teacher might have told him about the shape of a kidney, like a bean shape.
Yeah.
So he's kind of, at least some kind of learning has gone inside him, that what is the shape of the kidney and what are the different organs of the body, which unlike in a, you know, in a proper 2D model, I don't think so the child would be able to learn so much. So when we're talking about 21st century skills, it's more of a teacher's, you know, way to engage the child also that we're talking about. It's more of the kind of infrastructure that we are talking about. It's more of the total, you know, aura of the school and the school system that we are talking about when we are talking about imbibing the 21st century skills in the child.
Right, right, right. So wonderful, lots of wonderful examples that you have shared there. And I'm sure that when a child does an experiment with his or her own hands and observe something on his own, then the learning is deeper as compared to when he's, you know, just being taught by a teacher. So these are wonderful examples that, you know, you have implemented at your end. And you talked about that, you know, implementation of these skills depends upon how the teacher engages with the child and how the entire infrastructure is supporting this whole endeavor in terms of, you know, the models, the 3D models, the tech gadgets and all these things. So that is wonderful. So there is this learning of life skills, 21st century skills happening at school in a very hands-on manner. And the children are gaining a lot of skills and experience from there. So how can this learning environment be continue at home? Is there any way that the parents or the caregivers also continue this learning at home? How can they be involved if there is a parent who would like, you know, his or her child to be able to develop these skills even at home? What would be your recommendation? How can they do it?
Well, I feel that, you know, parents are a child's first teacher, and they serve as a model for behavior and provide guidance and support that builds a child's self-esteem and enhances learning. So basically, I think parents should work collaboratively with teachers and the school. And for example, if it's a kind of an activity or a PTM, I think that in spite of the busy schedule, the parents need to, you know, they should visit the teacher. They should find out what the progress of the child is. What we have done is we have created a kind of a parent representatives in each classes, wherein these parents are coming and visiting our school and they are involved in their different feedback. I think it has to work both ways. It cannot be the entire school's or the teacher's responsibility. I think the parents' responsibility is equally important, and their involvement is and support is the most vital to a child's education. And to add to this is, I think they should be working as collaborators and problem solvers. So when we talk about any kind of a feedback or any kind of a support from parent, I think there's involvement of parents need to be there. They should be constantly supporting the school environment. I think they should have an active interest in the child's schoolwork also, because we find that, you know, most of the parents, they are so much busy in their schedules, especially with today's lifestyles, that, you know, somehow the connect between the parent and the school is a bit of missing. But fortunately, what I feel is that pre-primary years, they are still, when we talk about a PTM attendance, is more in a pre-primary school. It's there in a primary department. Once the child reaches the senior secondary and the senior department, somehow the attendance is pretty low. So I think the it's very fortunate that pre-primary parents are more involved. And I think if they are involved in these as a co-decision makers and advisors in the school right from the initial years, and I think definitely 21st century skills that what we are talking about would certainly be, you know, imbibed with the child, in the child.
Right. And would you like to recommend some resources or some specific methods that the parents should implement at their home? You've mentioned that one is they should be involved in the PTM and they should collaborate with the schools, right? But over and above that, on a regular basis, how do you suggest these parents continue developing these skills?
I think first and foremost, most important thing is the time. I think parents should have time for their child. And once they have the time, they should be involved with different, like, you know, sometimes they feel that a child sitting in front of the laptop might be, you know, playing game. But I think it's something that they could also collaborate and be with the child. And if, let's say, if there's anything that the child is exploring, I think parents should be as a, you know, co-learner with the child. That is something that would boost up the confidence of the child also. There are different activities, there are different models that the parents can sit with the child and prepare the same with the child. So I think their active involvement with the activities that the child is doing gives a sense of a moral responsibility and gives a kind of a confidence to the child. I think that is what is more required when we talk about this. And of course, when we talk about books, etc., reading books, sing songs, play games, with the children, when we talk about the early childhood right now, is most important for the parents also to be a part of it. And of course, problem solving. First thing is, you know, the talk between the parent and the child should be there. There should be some conversation. There should be some kind of connect with the parent and the child, which somehow I feel that is missing right now.
Right. I think that is a very key point that, you know, you have mentioned here, that some sort of connect, a conversation, because, children learn not just in the classroom, but they are learning 24/7, even while simple conversations with parents, especially, they are picking up a lot of simple nuggets of insights and knowledge, and they have lots of questions. And if their questions are properly answered, I think this the learning continues.
Correct.
Right. So thanks for sharing that, ma'am. So we have been talking about developing these skills, at school, primarily using these various hands-on methods, and also, you know, how the parents can contribute towards this learning. Now, what these skills are, they have a wide range of spectrum. How can we evaluate the gain of these skills in such young children?
Well, I feel in early childhood program, I think assessment takes place by observing children in daily activities and, taking notes of whatever that they are doing, their skills, understandings, interests, their vocabulary, their attitude towards different tasks that we are doing here in the class. And it also includes communicating between the families regularly. Because, you know, these children are not that vocal. I think it's more of the teacher and a parent connect, because then they are able to find out if there's any kind of a behavior change in the child, or any kind of injury which has happened in the family, which has made some kind of a different behavioral change in the child. I think that is very important when we are talking about assessment. So I think the anecdotal notes is what our teachers also make when we are talking about. So there's a monthly, there's a spiral where each and every teacher is maintaining. They are documenting each and every work of the child. There are different milestones that have been written and they have been recorded based on their life, language skills, their social development skills, their cognitive skills, their fine motor skills, their gross motor skills. So all these skills, there are different milestones that the children need to achieve. And so there's a, you know, there's a proper report card which is there when we're talking about assessment. So we have the first 6 months as a first term, where the teachers are recording their anecdotal notes in their spirals, which are to be given to the parents after every 6 months. Post that, then they continue to write their notes. And then how the first term to second term development, whatever has been taken place, has been recorded, and then they kind of, you know, hand over the report card. It also, you know, adds on to their health, basically, what is their weight, what is their their height. So all the health parameters are also been mentioned in the report card. So I think that is the observation of the teacher here is of a prime importance, and So that's how it's like, you know, and it's like not only the cognitive and other developments, it's also the musical, artistic, the dramatic play they've been here doing in the school. So all these abilities of the children have been recorded. So I think that observing the children here plays a major role when we are talking about the assessment.
Right. You've shared a very interesting concept of these anecdotal notes that a teacher creates for each child. So I presume that, you know, each teacher is specifically trained how to observe and how to record these skills over a period of time.
Absolutely.
Right. So teacher training plays a very key role in building these skills in the young learners.
Absolutely.
Right, right. So, ma'am, coming on to the next question, what do you think are the challenges in developing these skills? So we have the we have established the impact, the importance of these skills. We also have some methods and fortunately a lot of tools now to develop these skills. But still, there are a lot of challenges in actually implementing these approaches at the ground level. So what do you think are the key challenges and how do you suggest we can overcome these challenges?
I think the most important factor which hampers is the, you know, there has to be a synchronization between the stakeholders, the management, the school and the students and the parents. So I think that is a very important that all are leading towards the same direction. Their focus is on building the 21st century skills, because if that balance is hampered, the entire, you know, strategy fails. So I think the entire community plays a major important role when we're talking about 21st century skills. And when we are talking about the challenges here, of course, are the financials, because as I rightly said, not every school has the finance to build up the STEM lab. Not every school has the ability to train the teachers in that way. Because here, when we are talking about 21st century skills, the teacher needs to be an edutainer. It has to be, you know, there has to be a constant training which has to be given to the teachers. Because here, when we are talking about a STEAM lab, every gadget has to have a kind of, you know, a training given to the teacher. When we are talking about robots, for example, each teacher needs to know how to manage and how to play these robots in the classes and what is the kind of pitch that they have to use. When we are talking about, you know, robots like WeDraw, where we are talking about a robot which is drawing a kind of a number or a drawing in front of the students. So I think teachers' training play a major role, and for that, the mindset of the teacher should also be there. The teacher should be equipped to learn. They should be motivated to learn. Not all teachers have the same kind of a temperament. I think these are the challenges which most of the schools would be facing when we're talking about imbibing the 21st century skills in the learners. And of course, the parents' mindset. You know, some parents do believe that, you know, it's more of academics. It's more of the bookish marks percentage that matters to them. But then, yes, when we are talking about 21st century skills, parents need to understand that, of course, they need not compare their child with the other child. They have to have an independent thinking. They need to trust in the school is something that I would like to add, that whatever the school is doing, they need to trust and they need to believe in the teachers. So I think these are the few challenges that are there when we're talking about the 21st century skills.
Right. And you have shared a lot of ways in which we can overcome these challenges, starting from, you know, better collaboration between the different stakeholders, developing the mindset for giving importance to these skills, and also accepting that, yes, you know, the school is doing has a good plan and contributing towards that. And another key point is working on the training of the teachers. So developing their skills for using these gadgets, helping them create wonderful lesson plans to use these devices, and also develop a mindset for working towards these skills. So, you know, thank you for sharing these, you know, inputs for overcoming the challenges that we have. I'm pretty sure that all the educators and parents listening to our conversation would have useful takeaways that they can implement at their end to help develop these skills in their children. So,
absolutely. Thank you.
And ma'am, we have discussed, you know, several key things. I would like to have a few rapid fire round of questions to take the discussion forward. So first is, what is the most satisfying aspect of being associated with such young children for you?
Well, I feel that nature of your job is directly proportional to the environment that you stay in. So I feel that you always are full of energy when you are dealing with the young learners.
Yes, yes, that is precisely slow. So, and you feel more energetic, and you also feel more creative and curious because you get it from the children you are trying to teach. Yes, so thanks for sharing that. Are there any things that these young children have helped you learn, of course, other than the technology? Like, I have a 7-year-old and he is teaching me technology, although I come from the technology background. So technology is one thing that these children are always ahead of us. But other than that, is there anything else that these children have helped you learn as a person?
Well, actually, I think it's to be physically very active, because they are always running around in the school, so we also kind of follow them. So I think we have become more physically active, we have got more stamina to the age that we are in. I think that's what we've learned from them. And of course, to be very happy, because they're all coming very happy and energetic, and they are making us more physically active is something that we've learned from them.
Yeah, so it's a good environment, a blessing to be working with such young children.
Absolutely.
Another question is, ma'am, if you would recommend one book which all parents should read to their child, one or two books that you would recommend, what it would be?
See, I would definitely refer The Art of Talking with Children by Rebecca Rowland, which gives simple keys to nurturing kindness and, creativity and confidence in children. So that's one book that I would like to refer that all parents need to read about.
Right. And any book that the parents should read to their children? There are several. There are, a lot.
Oh, there are many. And I think we can read Akbar, Birbal, Katha, because
yes,
that's coming in, in the children have lost that. I think Champak is something that we used to read a lot when we were young. I think it's more of Peppa stories, which have now picked up. Children are so attracted towards Peppa, and of course, Bubble series.
Right.
So it's something that, everywhere that we go, we find these books, and children, because of the interest that they have, I think that's something that parents need to focus what the interest of the child in before they read a book.
Right, right.
That's very important. Yes.
Right. And ma'am, last question is, what would be your favorite quote that you live by?
The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. By Roosevelt. I think that's what is the favorite quote or mantra that inspires me.
Right. That's wonderful, ma'am. That's very empowering quote.
Thank you so much.
Right. So thank you so much, ma'am, for, giving us your valuable time and sharing these insights with us. I have a lot of takeaways, and I'm sure the people, our audience would also have a lot of takeaways. And the key message is that it is very crucial to focus on developing these skills, because the future is completely uncertain. We have to prepare the children right from developing the life skills to developing the technology skills. So it's the entire spectrum that we should work on. And this would benefit not just the child, but the community as a whole. So thank you, Sheba ma'am, for sharing these insights with us. And thanks for all the audience who are listening to our discussion. Hope this has been valuable for you. And if the audiences have any queries for Sheba ma'am, you can share these queries in our YouTube video comments. We'll make sure that we get you the answer. And requesting everybody to do subscribe to our channel, The Learning Circle, where we speak to experienced educators and bring insights on education and learning. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you all for listening to this session. I hope our discussion has been valuable for you, with insights and takeaways which you can implement at your end. In case you have any queries for Ms. Sheba Thapar, please share with us. And do subscribe to our channel, The Learning Circle.